Now, nearly 65,000 people in America have tested positive for COVID-19. More than 1,100 have died. Two leading epidemiologists say it may be 3 to 6 weeks before the new coronavirus reaches its peak in the U.S. By the end of this week, people in 21 states, including here in Wisconsin, will be under some kind of statewide stay-at-home order. That comes out to more than half the U.S. population. There are other various restrictive measures in some other states as well. But those protections are hitting the economy hard. Today, the U.S. Labor Department said more than 3 million Americans filed for unemployment last week, shattering the previous record from 1982. The Dow Jones, while it's gone up in the last couple few days, it's off more than 7,000 points from its record high of 29,000 just 6 weeks ago. Earlier this week, President Trump says he wants to start reopening portions of society in a couple of weeks.
I said earlier today that I hope we can do this by Easter. I think that would be a great thing for our country, and we're all working very hard to make that a reality. We'll be meeting with a lot of people to see if it can be done. Easter is a very special day for many reasons. For me, for a lot of our friends, that's a very special day. And what a great timeline this would be.
But many health experts say reopening that soon could be especially dangerous. Susan Matthews is the news director at Slate. She recently wrote about how long we might be able to maintain the status quo and how we measure the impact and balance the impact of our anti-coronavirus measures. Susan, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the title of your piece, the headline was, "Are We Doing the Right Thing?" And the difficult thing about answering that question is it's kind of hard to tell with this new situation right what the right thing is.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, we're kind of all participating in this mass experiment right now where I don't know a person whose life isn't pretty dramatically impacted by what we're trying to do right now. And we're in this really weird time, too, where we're trying to do something proactive. Well, a little reactive right now, actually, but we're trying to, you know, stay home, stay in place to prevent worse outcomes down the line. But it's really hard to do that when you're also watching your family members and your friends get laid off. And it just feels like we're in the middle of a couple of really hard choices.
Right. And there are two extremes you point out. One solution, and some people have talked about this, is kind of the what some people call the let it rip version. We just go back to normal, let the disease run its course. That's not something you're calling for in this piece, if I'm reading you right.
I do not think that's the right choice. But actually, it's interesting. I started thinking about writing this piece last week when President Trump was saying that it might be possible that we all shelter in place for about 18 months. And one thing that I think is really hard about this moment is that, you know, things are changing and what people are saying we ought to do is changing pretty rapidly, even from that position last week to the new position this weekend. And I think that right now, everyone really wants an answer, like, how long do I have to do this for? How long is this going to last? And I think that a lot of the problem here is that that really depends on how well we do right now and what happens next. So I think it's most helpful to really think about things in like discrete chunks of time, even though that's really hard. It's so much easier to think about, we're going to get through these 2 weeks and see what happens after that, see where we are then before we can really start to make the bigger picture planning.
Right. But as you were hinting there and as you wrote in your piece, we're not going to shelter in place forever. At some point, coronavirus probably isn't going to completely go away, but we can't shut everything down forever. And what I read you as doing in this piece is really saying we need to start thinking about what possible futures might look like as we emerge and as the disease gets maybe hopefully more under control. What is the right middle ground? How do we start to sort that?
Right. Exactly. I mean, that's kind of the hard question right now, is that all public health officials are basically telling us for the next at least 2 to 3 weeks, we have to stay in place. But I think everyone also recognizes that it's not realistic that we're going to hide from this forever. So I think that there's kind of this middle ground of what's going to start happening once the initial epidemic kind of passes, where what we have to do is kind of try really hard to get a lot better at what we didn't do the first time. And what we didn't do the first time was really handle containment well. So we didn't have enough tests to know who was affected by this and who should self-isolate. That's kind of why we're in this position right now where everyone has to self-isolate. And if we try to get what we need to do is we need to get a lot more data, we need to get a lot more testing, and we need to try to figure out how are we going to reopen parts of the world and parts of the economy and parts of people's jobs, schools, so that people can go back to work, but they can also feel like they're safe.
Susan Matthews is with us, news director at the website Slate, talking about a piece she wrote about figuring out what our future is going to be as at some point we start to get away from stay-at-home orders and still deal with what will hopefully be the diminishing impacts of coronavirus in hopefully the not-too-distant future. We heard from President Trump a little while ago there. I want to give a listen to Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden talking on CNN about the president's goal of reopening America by Easter.
He should stop talking and start listening to the medical experts who talk about having an economic crisis. You want an economic crisis? Watch this spike. Watch the number of dead go up. Watch the number of people who, in fact, connect with this virus. When are you going to be able to open the economy? Look, we all want the economy to open as rapidly as possible. The way to do that is let's take care of the medical side of this immediately.
That's something we've also heard from some leading Republicans. Representative Liz Cheney, one of the top Republicans in the U.S. House, saying, yes, the shutdown hurts the economy, but yes, the unfettered spread of this illness could also hurt the economy. There's a lot to sort out here, Susan.
Yeah, it's kind of at this point a false choice to kind of try to say that, either we're going to have this complete shutdown in the disease or we could just open the economy back up. The disease is here. We can't open the economy back up without facing some pretty severe ramifications from that. And I think that that's one of the things that I was really thinking about and trying to get at when I was writing this is everyone is kind of dealing with their own experience of sheltering in place right now. A lot of us are alone. We're with our families. We're by ourselves. We're trying to get information, but it's really hard to know like what exactly is going on out there. And there's the tendency to just think like, oh, we really need to open this up. But the reality is right now is that even if we open things back up, there's the disease is still going to be there. The overwhelmed hospitals are still going to be there. And that's going to have its own really significant impacts on the economy. So the option of let's just start it back up again isn't really there. I would really like there to be an option for everything to just go back to normal. I think that's what everyone really wants, but that's just not the possibility right now. And so what we really have to think about is what do we do right now to maximize our chances of lowering the spread, to stay home to do that, and then to eventually get to the point where we can start to make a much more strategic plan at starting up. And that's what you've seen has happened and has worked in the other countries that have had a much better experience with this coronavirus. South Korea specifically is one that I'm thinking of, where they had much wider spread testing early on, much better containment early on, and that kind of allowed them to be in a different position than the position that we're in now.
Briefly, as we wrap up, what are some lessons you hope we learn from this for maybe the next illness that spreads around the world?
Well, I think that testing is so important. The importance of data is so important. And listening to our public health officials, I mean, the real thing here is that if we had maybe been better prepared, we could have gotten a better handle on this sooner. And that is something that I hope that we remember for next time.
Susan, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Susan Matthews, news director at Slate. We talked to her today about the challenges of balancing public health and the economy amid the COVID-19 outbreak and the need for more data about what's happening, how widespread it is. By the way, you can stay up to date on the coronavirus in Wisconsin at WPR.org/coronavirus. And you can ask your questions, and our news team, or we on the talk side of things, can try to tackle them. You can ask questions about coronavirus or anything in Wisconsin over at the Wisconsin webpage. You can find that via WPR.org. Look for Wisconsin. That's like W-H-Y-Sconsin.